This is Sharing Space, a show all about starting the conversation that will lead to the bigger conversation that will one day end mental health discrimination. You see, each week we bring on a different guest. Sometimes they'll share their personal story, sometimes one of advocacy, or that is a perspective inside the mental health field. To get involved, all you need to do is listen to the different conversations. They're all available on the Sharing Space homepage. And then take a piece of each of the conversations, whether it's something you feel might be interesting to someone else, something that you feel like someone else is going through, or just something that you yourself find interesting and want to share. Then share that with another person. If this seems uncomfortable, use the show to start the conversation. Ask them to listen with you, or just send them the link and say, "Hey, I thought this might interest you." And then you can have the conversation over email. It's really that simple. This week, we're sitting down with Jordan for part two of his story. Welcome to Sharing Space. I'm Alison Blaise, here on bursts.co.uk. You recognize the certain feelings that might be leading up, or you're learning to, which can be useful, obviously. Have you learned some of the things that trigger anything?
I think it's always a grey area. There's never one obvious thing, and it varies with different people in different situations. But the things that are potentially triggering for me aren't necessarily concrete ideas. They could just be sort of alluding to something, or maybe making me think in a different way, or letting my brain run away with itself. It's always difficult because, especially now that we're so connected, it's really, really hard to work out which one thing is influencing you at any one time, which is why the other day it was useful for me, because I was just having a conversation with one person. Neither of us had our phones out or anything. We were in a quiet place, so it was so easy to try and work out in that conversation what could have influenced that. It could be something that happened earlier on in the day. It could be something that you read in a newspaper, online, something you listened to. It's so varied, and sometimes you just don't notice when you maybe scroll past something on Twitter or on Facebook. Anything can lead you thinking in a certain way and can affect you much later on in the day. So it's really hard to track down, but I think it's more beneficial to know what's happening or what it's going to do rather than why it's happening. It's good to know why that is occurring in general, in as far as the whole thing goes, but specifically why that instance has happened doesn't really matter, as long as you're aware that it is happening. Keep yourself sort of aware of how your mood's changing, because you can't control that, and then at least you know that pattern in future to be able to realize, okay, so this feeling will then lead me to have this mood. So I think it's more about noticing the process rather than noticing the beginning, but it varies for everyone, if that made sense.
It does. Everything is different. Everyone is different. Yeah, I find it, because I know my triggers, mm-hmm. so I know certain things to avoid, certain topics to avoid. But like you said, sometimes things just happen unexplainably, and you know that you start to know those feelings, and that's when I say, you know, I have to go through those steps that I've learned of coping. And sometimes it's just not as simple as, but sometimes it's just letting it pass and understanding that it will end. Just from that, you recognize the feelings, you recognize kind of, you know, the pattern. And you did mention sometimes like playing music helps. Is it so? Are those things that potentially when you start feeling a certain way, you say, I need to start writing, or taking a step back and saying, okay, maybe let me take a break and do these things to just help ease through that, I guess.
So making something always works for me. So whether that be music, writing, doing anything. But I think it's purely the act of doing something totally different is kind of like a shock to the system. Kind of like a psychological sort of like slap to wake you up in a way. Because you're just totally changing that situation, or you're moving from a different space. And I never felt like that necessarily applies to me. I've heard that a lot being said, but I really do see it when I go and start doing something else, or play some kind of music, or even listen to some kind of music. My recent trick is there's a very specific song at the moment that is just sort of very feel good and is very blunt about not feeling good, but you know, you will feel good. And if I put that song on, I know instantly it'll pick me up. And I think that's because I've associated it with doing so. So if you can try and have something that you know is going to be good for you and is only ever good for you, then that's beneficial to you. My mind's very analytical, and I'm sort of very scientific in trying to work out how certain things occur and why. And it's sort of been a product of me thinking about this because I've had to try and work out and give myself therapy. So knowing that I can do some kind of certain thing and associating it with feeling good afterwards sometimes is as good as actually feeling good. It sort of like triggers I'm going to go out on a limb and say it triggers a dopamine rush. So suddenly you just feel happier. Like cleaning can do that, because then you know this place is clean now. I can't feel bad, because it's sort of like tricking yourself and playing that game with your head as it's trying to play the game of confusing you or getting you down or whatever. And also, even though I'm very scientific about it, I can still sort of play the game of trying to make myself feel better. Because if you think it's... and get into the mindset of feeling bad and it's quite doom and gloom, then you'll carry on feeling that way, and you'll sort of, in a way, sometimes give yourself an excuse to feel bad because you can justify it. And that works for me personally. It may or may not work for anyone else. But then I know that I can start spiraling. If I say to myself at some point when I notice I'm either starting to feel down or do feel down, I can then say, okay, that's enough of that now. I have to do something else. And that's when I'll try and change the situation. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but that's something that I'm starting to experiment with now. And I don't know if it's going to work long term, but I might as well at least try it.
Where would you describe yourself, or how would you describe the difference, the transition between when you kind of started recognizing, because it started, you said, early, mm-hmm. but then there was kind of that point of recognition to now, because it is a journey. It is something. It's where that whole not liking to define something as a disorder or an illness in any way. It's just, it's you. Mm-hmm. So it's always, and it's always going to be you. It's always going to be a process. But how do you find the difference between there and now?
So the thing that happened to me a lot, I graduated high school and went into a college course that I wasn't into. I wasn't enjoying where I was or what I was doing. I didn't think it was going to develop in the career I wanted to do. I was fortunate because I've always known what I wanted to do. A lot of people don't have that. But I knew this wasn't the best place for me. I'd had this breakup. There was a lot going on. And because of all of this, I was very young, and I drank a lot, and an awful lot, sometimes socially, sometimes with other people. There was a group of people that I want to say were, you know, as sort of troubled as I was at the time, and we were all sort of slip into this kind of, well, that's the only way of escaping and dealing with it. And when you then start going, no, something has to change, this isn't good. I think the exact moment was I was with a couple of friends and we were all intoxicated, started hailing really hard. We had skipped a college class, started hailing really hard. We're by a river, it's flooding a little bit. And the people that I was with were thinking the world was ending because of this. And something hit in my brain, and I don't understand how, because, you know, I wasn't sort of in the right frame of mind then. I just went, no, this isn't right. This isn't the thing that should be happening. And following that, I started getting trying different therapy. I was already in some therapy then, looking to change the course I was on. I did so many different things to try and improve my situation. And that was the sort of the start. That was recognizing that. And then I had to then start sort of moving towards where I am now. And that's sort of varied. Some things, like habits, I had stopped and then gone back to over this whole course. I've only recently learned that I need to focus on making sure I'm okay, and in a physical sense and in a health sense, making sure that I'm eating and that I'm doing all of the things that are good for you in general, as well as now starting to notice the mental things and all that. So it's a really long journey, and there's lots of stops on the way and lots of different things that have happened, and there's different kind of wake-up calls to keep saying, no, you've got to keep pushing on. And in a way, like, trying to not be too hard on yourself because you're not making the progress you want to make. My problem for quite a while was a lot of people who were talking about, you know, not feeling right, were saying, oh, well, I got to this point and I'm better now, and I can't relate to that. I think not being okay is totally acceptable, and that's fine. And everyone needs to know that it's not necessarily a problem if you are dealing with a certain thing or doing certain things in certain ways, unless it's hurting people or it's making things difficult or it's causing problems there. Because of this, I went to a lot of extremes to try and change things. And one of those goes back to the drinking a lot. I completely stopped, like totally, which meant that I didn't do things socially, that kind of thing. And that affected me in another way, because then I wasn't being sociable in certain ways. And these extremes also apply to trying to feel all right, or, you know, trying to deal with certain things. And I think everyone understanding there's balance in things is only beneficial, because, you know, a lot of people are trying to search for some kind of happiness in life, and, you know, it's unreasonable to say we're always going to be happy or we could ever always be happy. That wouldn't be healthy. That'd be, like, awful. But understanding that, you know, life has its ups and downs, and appreciating when it has been good, but also understanding and appreciating when it hasn't been good. Like, we don't know that light is there, or we don't know that dark is around, without knowing that light's around. Like, you have to have two things to understand the other thing. The reason that I can be very happy with things now is because I know what being sort of sad looks like and being incredibly depressed looks like. And it's those kind of balances, and that's something that I can see between people that have been through a lot and people that haven't necessarily, is the people that have been through a lot can always know, I'll never be at that point again. I'll never be at that point when I was, like, ready to kill myself or ready to be in that kind of really horrible situation and be very self-destructive. So now pretty much everything's good because I'm just in a general better position. The people that haven't been through anything that's as bad, and they're very few and far between, are very easy to think that their day's not gone well, so it's the end of the world. And knowing that you've had a bad situation and being able to learn and grow from that is also an advantage. There's, again, not trying to glorify it in any way, but it's positive to know that you can take something from it and you will grow and you'll develop because of those situations you've been in. So going back to the original point, being happy or being sad or being okay or not okay is totally fine, as long as you're learning from that and trying to keep present with the things that you have developed from that, and knowing where you're carrying on growing and improving. You know, it comes in waves, and you've just got to know which ones that you're going to be sort of taking. To use a surfing term, like, life comes in waves and you've got to know which ones to ride. And that's something that applies with mood as well.
It also brings up an interesting thing that that came up in previous shows. And it was something that, as part of my course, I had a lecturer who brought up it came up in a lot of them, but it's the 7 parts of well-being. So there are 7 different ones. One of those being mental well-being and emotional well-being. And I find with all of those, balance is really key to kind of lead to an overall homeostasis, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I like that you brought up that it's about balance.
Yes.
'Cause that's something that I personally find very true. And just being able to use those tools and know them. But yeah, it's always been something that I've always gone back to from those lectures. Like, there are just moments in my life where I always can go back to that and think through the 7 things. And especially if I'm not feeling okay for whatever reason, I can kind of think through those and think, is it in balance? Or is it not? So yeah, it kind of gave me a better understanding. That last part that you brought up kind of made me think of something else. I asked someone else, but I just want to get your opinion on it. I've heard before, and I feel it's a common enough line of thinking. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the majority of people think this way, but I've definitely heard it. There's kind of an idea that you're selfish if you take time to take care of yourself, mm-hmm. or if you... I guess, yeah, that's the main thing. Taking time to get to know you, taking time to take care of yourself, that can be selfish because you're worrying more about you in that moment than other people.
I mean, maybe it is, but then also maybe that's the crutch that can save you from some horrible situations. And knowing that, you know, you don't have to put other people first. The thing that, maybe it's a justification I've given myself, maybe it's the absolute truth of how things work, but the piece of advice I think I most often give to people who are trying to understand how they're feeling and their decisions and looking after themselves and trying to say, look, I need to look after myself and start focusing on who I am and what I need, is that if you don't look after yourself, you can't possibly help anyone else. You can't possibly look after anyone else. I'm the kind of person that wants to make sure everyone's okay. And I know for a fact that when I am not okay or when I was not feeling okay, I can't do anything. I'm hopeless at trying to make anyone feel better. But it can be considered selfish, and in some respects maybe I am, but that's part of who I am. I can't forcibly change that because everyone has their sort of positives and negatives to their personalities. But then at the same time, it goes right back to that you're the person that's always going to be around you, and it's likely that someone who's not understanding of the fact you need to look after yourself might not be around you for a whole lot longer. And there can be family members, there can be friends. I know I've got some family members who think it's really selfish for me to want to take myself out of certain situations. Big family Christmas dinners, I can't do. And I will just eject myself from that situation. And I know that people aren't okay with that. But at the same time, my health and well-being and making sure that I'm not going to be either a problem to myself or anyone else is more important than that to me, and more important than people's opinion and view of what I'm doing. And also, if I then stay in a situation where I'm not sort of looked after or can look after myself, then that's only going to cause problems for everyone else as well. And I think it's not necessarily just a black and white, you're doing something for yourself or you're being sort of someone who's doing things for everyone. Sometimes it can be both. Sometimes knowing oh, okay, I'm not going to be able to come to this party tonight because there's a problem, or leaving early, which is a big thing at uni. If I'm leaving somewhere early, it's because I'm not getting anything else from there, and can't be involved with that anymore. Sometimes it's with other people who feel the same way, that we'll just go and walk home. And a lot of people will see that as a bit strange because you're then not being social. But then also you're making sure everyone else's experience is good too, because then they don't have to worry about you. If you know that you can look after yourself and support yourself, then you're safe and people can carry on with what they're doing without having to wonder if there's any problems. Whereas if you stayed in that situation, you could cause everyone else to have to deal with something or have to try and support you. It's maybe controversial, but I just think that by understanding yourself, you're doing the best for yourself and possibly everyone long term, even if not in necessarily a very specific situation. It can be an inconvenience, but nothing in life is perfect, really.
Yeah. What advice do you have to anyone, I guess, just hasn't learned to accept, especially if they're in a situation where they may be aware that something is wrong or they're in a bad situation, and potentially maybe getting help?
Yes.
But there haven't been defining terms put on it, because I know something that you said was that it's been kind of a process. There isn't really a diagnosis. It's kind of changed. And I think that might be difficult.
Yeah.
So what would you say to someone who's kind of in that point?
So I think there's sort of three points that I've mentally clocked, sort of as advice. And I'm going to forget one of them, I can almost guarantee now. One of the important things is there isn't a job too small for any kind of counselling or therapy or anything. That it just isn't a thing. Like, even if someone has such like a small issue or just something really little they want to work through, they could have that fixed in one session, and that can be great. And on that note, you can still develop all of the skills that can help you out through different forms of therapy. A popular one at the moment is CBT, which actually just gives you life skills in general. So even if you don't necessarily need that, it's still going to be beneficial. So it's sort of a no job's too small, is the first thing to know. The second thing is, don't necessarily be worried if you don't have people that understand or connect with you. You're not going to... No one really understands anyone on a deep sort of emotional and psychological level, and it's something that I think we're sort of conditioned to believe, is that maybe we'll find one person, whether that be in a relationship or a friendship or something, who absolutely understands everything that we're going through. And it's unfair on yourself, and it's unfair on that person as well, because that's a lot of pressure, and not everyone understands everyone. So I think being able to know yourself and just start learning the little things that make up you is really important, because then anyone can help you out of anything, and there's always going to be someone that can just sit through, even if you're doing nothing, just sit through and be supportive. Or I've got friends that I know that if I need to just go and have a cup of tea in a different place, I can go there for 2 hours and just spew ideas or how I'm feeling or anything. Or I could go and do something with someone else. Like, knowing the people that you're around and how they can support you in their own ways is just, it's just helpful, because then you know you've got some kind of support there. And I think really it's just like, be kind to yourself and look after yourself, and just know who you are. And you, no one really knows, but I think really all we really have is ourselves through everything. And you learn that a lot when you've sort of moved around a lot, of been away from people that are quite close to you. Because once you know how you will react to things and how you can make sure that you're in an okay mood and the things you can do and the sort of resources you can tap into and how they affect you. That means that no matter what happens, you're always there to sort of catch yourself. Because I think a lot of people at some of the worst times are hoping for someone to help them, and it's heartbreaking knowing that no one will and no one can. I think being able to try and get to the point where you know you're safe, and as long as you've got yourself, you've got everything, and you just need to support yourself as best you can, I think is the best thing that I've learned. And again, it may not apply to everyone, but I think it's important for people to at least try and focus on that. So not necessarily knowing who you are, because I feel no one does, but at least knowing how you can help yourself and just being a friend to yourself, I guess, in simplest terms.
I think that's really nice. Thanks again to our guest, Jordan, and to you for listening in and helping in the Sharing Space Initiative. Remember, all you need to do to get involved is listen to the different conversations, take something from each of them, and share that with another person. Once we start the conversation outside of this space, we're one step closer to ending mental health discrimination. CBT was mentioned in this episode, which stands for Cognitive Behavioral Therapy. For more information on this episode or things relating to other episodes, visit the Sharing Space homepage at www.birst.co.uk/sharing-space. Not only will you find helpful tools and information about the things discussed in each of the conversations, but the links to each of the conversations are there, so you can listen back or share with your friends. This has been a burst.co.uk production. The music was composed by Michael L. Worrell. It was produced and presented by me, Alison Blaze, and the conversation was pre-recorded.